This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey friends, it's me, Megan Devine, host of Hereafter with Megan Devine. Season 2 is coming up soon. It'll be here before you know it. But in the meantime, while you're waiting, I wanted to introduce you to a couple of shows I think you're going to like. You might even get some new favorite podcasts out of it. So give these episodes a listen and stay tuned for the announcement of the launch of Season 2 coming soon. See you soon, friends.
Life ain't always pretty, but hey, it's pretty beautiful things. Laugh a little more things. Tighten up your core things. Said EK, you're kicking it with four things.
With Amy Brown.
I'm sitting here on Zoom with licensed therapist, author, grief expert, all the things, Megan Devine. Hey, Megan.
Hey, nice to be here.
Today, what I wanted to get into was just the holidays are here. And that's an interesting time for people and families. And for me personally, grieving the loss of my dad this year and my first Thanksgiving without him and then my first Christmas. And of course, I lost my mom too, but they're two very different people that were in my life. And so just for people listening right now, whatever you might be going through, that's what we're going to get into in this episode.
I always like to have conversations about the holidays and grief by saying the holidays are almost always hard in some way, right? Whether you've lost somebody or not. This is why we have all of these holiday movies about the trauma of going home for the holidays. Like, holidays are stressful, even under the best of circumstances. And we're certainly not in the best of circumstances for a lot of families. The last couple of years have been really rough. Lots of people have lost one family member, several family members, jobs, homes. There is a lot of heaviness coming into the holiday season. I know you and I were going to talk about this sort of in relation to how you're greeting the holidays this first year without your dad. And I want to frame that by saying, one, to just acknowledge the fact that holidays are tough and nobody knows the right way to do anything. Just like with any other kind of how do we deal with grief, dealing with grief in the holidays, there's no one right way. There's no magic thing that if you hang the lights this way or, you know, you light the candles in this, you know, in this window, like there's no magic thing that's going to make a beautiful holiday season. But that being said, there are some things that you can do to help make it a holiday season that feels right for you and the people you care about.
Before you get into some of those things, I also want to just say I set that up as like maybe you've lost someone, but there can be different types of grief throughout the holidays. And it may not be that someone has died or passed on. It could be a relationship has ended. There's been a divorce. There's been some sort of loss of what you thought your life was going to have or a future you had. And I think while I have lost actual physical loved ones, they have passed on. I too have also been in a season of life where I've had a lot of things that I've been going through and processing, and I have had to do some grieving of my future and what I thought it would be. So I just felt like it was important to recognize those people too, that this episode is really for everyone and anyone, because I don't know anyone.
Everyone being human at this time.
Exactly. Yeah. Everyone being human at this time. So no matter what it is that people are going through, what do you have for us in terms of how we navigate the holidays?
If you don't mind, let's start with what you were telling me about your story of greeting the holiday season after your dad's death, because I think that's a great entry point into how we get through all this.
Yeah. So my dad passed away in April, and I lost my mom in 2014. So I feel like losing him, you know, I was like, well, I've been here before. I kind of know what to do. But I actually grieved both of them very differently. I feel like I was in a healthier place with more support around me on how to better handle my dad. And plus, they could just look different anyway. But they look different because I process them different, and I process the trauma and the healing all in a very different way. But it also brought up a lot of those same feelings again. It was almost like, boom, I could feel exactly how I felt, you know, in 2014. So for me, something that helped me, especially because both of my parents loved to cook and they loved food and they loved hosting and having family. So I wanted to be intentional about not just throwing myself into something to distract feelings by any means. I didn't want to numb it out by being like, well, if I have all these people and this is what mom and dad would do, and so I need to do it. Because I'm in a good place, I was able to separate it and know, like, okay, I need to do what's best for me. And if I want to have a house full of people, I will do that. If not, I'm going to just keep it small and intimate. And that's what's going to be best for our family, or me at the time. So Thanksgiving is past. Now we're rolling into Christmas, and I'm open to a house full of people. We did it for Thanksgiving, and it warmed my heart to use some of my mom's dishes to make her deviled eggs that she loved. My dad makes this amazing stuffing that nobody else, I feel like, could make in the world. I tried to do it justice, but I didn't. But I mean, I tried. I ordered tamales because my dad loves having tamales around the holidays. He's from South Texas, and he's like, everybody has tamales during Thanksgiving and Christmas season for sure. So those were little ways that I honored them and sprinkled that in. And that's what I plan to do with Christmas too. And that helped me. But I could see where maybe for some people, they don't want to have anything that's going to remind them of their loved one in any way, shape, or form at this time. But for me, it was therapeutic and helpful, and I'm excited to do it again at Christmas time.
I love how you set that up, Amy, that you, like, when my mom died in 2014, that was one experience. And then when my dad died this year, that was a totally different experience. I want to pull out one thing you said, which was, I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit, but I heard you say, like, my dad's death, I had more support around me and more community, and I knew more of what I needed. And this is a really important thing here, right? Like, the grief around losing someone you love, like, that's an immovable object, right? Like, it's not going to fix the fact that you're missing somebody. But having support and self-insight and understanding what you need for yourself, that makes a big difference between how much you suffer after you lose someone you love or you go through something life-altering, right? How much you suffer is what can get changed with the amount of support you have, how well you understand yourself, the things that you do to care for yourself. So I want to start there and then jump into, I love your holidays, right? And I also love your holidays because you started out by saying, this is what worked for me.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. LifeLock monitors and alerts you to identity threats you may miss on your own, even if you're careful with your personal information. And if you do become the victim of tax-related identity fraud, LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists ready to help solve identity theft issues on your behalf. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Why wait for your tax refund in vain? Help protect your information immediately with LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 25% your first year. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Identity theft protection starts here.
And, you know, you and I are sitting here and we're on video, so I can tell our listeners here that you have such joy on your face when you describe your holidays. And I kind of want that for everybody, knowing that what creates joy is different for every person. So I love that you also wrapped up that beautiful story by saying, like, this worked for me, might be a nightmare for somebody else. And this is the core, not just around the holidays, but any time of year, is that everybody is going to have a different need, dream, requirement, right? I think if you've lost somebody, I think that if it's your first holiday season without your person, in your case, it's your dad, there can be a lot of sort of panic from friends and family members who are saying, like, oh my gosh, we have to make this the best holiday ever for her. And this means we have to, like, go over the top and make sure everything is perfect and festive so that they're never sad. Sort of that things that Amy wants to avoid statement that you did earlier. Like, I don't want to go crazy so that I'm, like, distracting myself and dissociating from the emotions. Sometimes I think that people on the outside have that, I don't know, manic need, that drive to make it a good holiday for you. So they over-engineer the whole thing. But if you don't check in to see if that's what your grieving person wants, you're probably going to miss each other. I can explain that a little bit better. So for example, Amy, if I'm your friend and I know this is your first year without your dad, and I'm like, oh man, I got to make sure she's really happy so that she's not sad on the holidays. Like, she can't be alone. We have to, like, make a big party and bring lots of food and make a full house full of people. But you are like, man, all I really want for the holiday season is to be alone with myself and maybe my dog and just have some time to breathe. If I'm your friend and I never check in with you about what a good, air quotes, good holiday would look like for you, we're going to miss each other. I'm going to do this hugely engineered, complicated, lots of people to keep you from feeling alone. And you're going to go along with it because I did all this work and you don't want to let me down. I'm your friend. You want to be thankful and appreciative of all the work that I did. But you're not getting a good holiday because I didn't check in with you to see what that might mean for you. So it's always a good idea to check in with your people before you kind of come in with your ideas about what they need. You want to find out what actually would feel like a good holiday for you this year.
That makes me think, too, that given that this is your passion and what you do, like, giving people that permission to, you know, say that to a friend or a family member and for them to know it's an okay, healthy boundary. It doesn't mean that you need to get on or go check yourself in somewhere. Or, you know, I could see how if that was a response to someone, they might be like, oh my gosh, Amy's not well right now. Like, she's doesn't want to do anything. She doesn't want to see anybody. She might be depressed. Well, guess what? Yeah, I might be a little bit depressed. I'm sad. So
mm-hmm. Yeah. And being sad is okay.
And being sad is totally okay. But yes, like, as the helpers too, I think sometimes we get caught up in that and we might try to continue fixing the problem when really, if someone's able to recognize that's what they need, we should applaud it and be like, oh, wow, look at you. Healthy boundary.
That's right. We want to support that self-knowledge. And I think you're pointing at something, a bigger sort of cultural issue here is that we still have that message that your job as a friend or a supporter is to cheer your person up, Sadness is bad, right? Your job is to make them happy again, make their grief go away, make them feel better. That belief is why we do things like tell people everything happens for a reason, or you're young and pretty, you can get married again, or at least you know you can have kids. Like all the things that we say to people who are going through a hard time, because we think that's our job to cheer them up. We think it's our job to fix their grief for them. And we've talked about this before, and I certainly talk about this all the time. Like, your job as a support person is to come up alongside your person and help them feel supported and understood and taken care of so that they can feel whatever they need to feel. Your job is not to fix their pain, but to companion them inside it. And not everybody's going to get that, right? Like, we're talking about this cool ideal here where, like, your friends are enlightened and they understand how to show up for you and they know to come to you and say, ooh, holidays, my temptation is to make this, like, the best holiday of all time with, like, streamers and pony rides and all of these things. But before I do that, how are you feeling about this holiday season? I know it's the first one without your dad. Do you know what you might need? Like, that is next level friendship communication skill. And I love that.
And then, yeah, not getting offended or your feelings hurt or thinking that you've done something wrong.
I mean, you might get offended. I mean, we're human, right? Like, if I think, oh, I know you really well, Amy, and you're going to want this really big party, but I check in with you and you say, actually, I really don't want to talk to anybody for 2 weeks straight and I booked a cabin in the woods. I mean, I might feel a little bit like, oh, I thought I knew you. I thought I had this one right. Like, I thought I was going to be the best friend ever. Sometimes being humans in relationship is slightly uncomfortable. That is okay. Right? Being human is awkward. Let's just go with it.
What advice do you have for people that are like, I don't really know how to figure out what I want. I don't know how to tap into if I want a house full of people or to be alone in a cabin in the woods or somewhere in between. Like, when the weight of the world is just on us. And yeah, I've been there. I'm sure you've been there. It's like you don't feel capable of making a decision for yourself. And then I've been in a place where I don't know if I trust myself with that decision. Like, is there anything we can do to like tap into what truly would be best for us?
One of the things you're describing is executive functioning deficits, right? Like, I cannot make any more decisions. How the heck do I know what I'm going to need? I've never done this before. Honestly, I think you can start there with yourself to name the confusion, to know that you don't know, right? And so I think when we start there, like, we want to name the struggle in the room. I have no idea what I'm going to need. You can't make a wrong choice. You can only learn from it. So if you say, well, what are some of the things that have felt good to me in hard times before? Well, maybe community has felt good to me. Might feel good to like have a small gathering, maybe as a trial run, have a small gathering and make some of Dad's favorite foods and see what that looks like for me before I plan some giant thing. Maybe I take a mini retreat for an afternoon and see if like, what would this feel like on the day? These are the same kinds of questions that I think we run through when we're coming up on a significant anniversary date, a death date, or an like, this is when mom entered hospice. You never know how you're going to feel until that day. I always like an escape hatch. You've done this whole thing where you feel like based on your Thanksgiving experience for the end of your holidays, you're going to go full out with community. It's okay to tell yourself, like, if there's ever a point where I feel like this is too much, here's what I'm going to do for myself. I'm going to take a walk around the block. I'm going to go play with the dog in the yard, and then I'm going to come back. You might have, you know, a key person of a friend or a family member who you can give a signal to, right? Secret code, always a fan of secret codes, secret hand signals. And it's the code that means reaching capacity for what I can handle, checking out right now. I am okay. Come look for me in half an hour if you don't see me.
Okay.
I love that. You know, we can't control how we're going to feel in the moment, but we can set up structures to take care of yourself, whatever shows up. I think that's less anxiety producing than trying to like make sure I have the exact right thing done so that it will not. It's going to be hard sometimes. How are you going to deal with that? You can't plan the perfect either retreat or prevent emotions from coming up. I'm sorry, you are human. They are going to follow you into the woods if that's where you go.
No, I love the idea of having an escape plan. I hadn't thought of that. Or what? I don't know if that's the best way to call it, but yeah, like you
know. No, for me, it's the airline stewardess voice, like the exits are. Right? We need the airline stewardess voice, like the exits maybe behind you. I love an escape hatch. And it can help you with anxiety too. Like when you've, okay, the invitations have gone out, the food has been ordered. For me, that's a 3 o'clock in the morning panic wake up of like, oh crap, I can't, no take backsies now. Like this is going to happen. What if I don't want to? that's an uncomfortable anxiety that I don't want to have to manage at 3 o'clock in the morning. So again, we come back to, okay, what are going to be my early warning signs that I'm kind of reaching capacity with what I can do, so that you can take yourself out of that situation and go somewhere to find your center again and to breathe for a minute, whatever you need to do before it's like full on meltdown because somebody used the wrong spoon in the stuffing.
Yeah, I feel like I can tie in one of the titles of your books, actually. Like, even if you make a decision and then suddenly you're not okay in that decision, it's okay to not be okay. In that moment, which, that's the title of one of Megan's books. But it's okay to not be okay, even if, you know, you thought you were going to be okay. Yeah. Then suddenly, if you're not, I'm taking in this advice right now of like, I might need this exact advice over Christmas, and that I can have a signal and I can go for a walk, or I can do some things that I know that are going to be good for me. And maybe I put on Adele's new album and I go to my closet and I cry, and that's therapeutic for me. And then I go out and see if I can try again.
And these are actually great conversations to have with family members or friends who are going to be acknowledging, I guess. We don't want to necessarily do celebrating, but like acknowledging the holidays with you, experiencing the holidays with you, is to have these conversations ahead of time, right? Like, I have no idea what this date is going to be like for me. Here's my plan for when things feel a little bit stressful or overwhelming for me. If you've got family members, everybody lost one person, but everybody lost a different person, right? Like, one person died, but everybody lost a different person because each relationship is unique. Right? You lost your dad. Other people lost a friend, or I don't know what your family structure is like. Maybe you have siblings, so other people lost their dad, but each person lost a different person. So you can come together and sort of have a conversation, I don't know, email or text or phone or in person, whatever feels comfiest for you. But to say, like, we're heading into this first holiday season without dad. Here's what I think I'd love to see happen. And like, let's use an example here. I'm going to try to keep my examples clear and actionable, even if we have to do 19 of them. So let's say that you've had a conversation with your family and everybody plans to gather together in one place and have that big celebration that you talked about. You can sort of preload some parameters and say, like, I'm really looking forward to coming together as a group. I do know myself that I might need to step out sometimes and sort of be alone with my feelings. I need you to know that I'm okay. I don't need anybody to come and get me, but, you know, if you're looking for me and you don't see me for a few minutes, just know that I'll be right back. What I love about that sort of dress rehearsal is that if you're in the moment and you're starting to feel like the situation is too much and you're gonna deploy your escape hatch, I don't want you to get waylaid by Aunt Susan in the hallway and have to explain why you're taking a step away, because then she's like, why do you need that? This should be a happy, like, I don't want you to have to do that. So wherever you can, wherever it feels reasonable, to talk about the plan of the day. And it also does some permission giving to others, right? Like, if you come in there as Amy knows what she needs and says, like, I'm going to do this if this gets too much, what do you think this is going to be like for you? And like, maybe you can have your own escape hatch, right? It's a cool way to sort of sideways get into a group conversation about how we all do things differently and we all have different breaking points. And that whatever you need to do to take care of yourself, as long as you are not harming yourself or others, is okay to do.
I know we're focusing on grief and loss because we're using me as an example, losing my parents and what comes up for me around holiday season with that. But we're still living in such a crazy, heavy time. I mean, the last almost 2 years have been very heavy for the world. And, you know, there just might be different mental health struggles going on. Like, maybe you typically enjoy the holidays. Maybe you're not really grieving a particular loss this season, but something about the holidays and celebrating just feels weird.
Yeah. There are so many ways to feel weird about the holidays, right? Like, again, even outside of the pandemic years and death and all of these things. You know, when we talk about these skills of listening to yourself, asking yourself questions, understanding what you need, and advocating for yourself now and in the future, and opening these interesting, sometimes challenging conversations with friends and family, this isn't stuff that you just need when life goes horribly wrong, right? Like, these are like, can't come to your baby shower. These are like, lost my job. These are, the dog was sick all night and I didn't sleep very well. And then I got into an argument with somebody and then I missed the bus and I was late for work. Like, these are daily skills, that we can practice anytime so that when things happen, like somebody dies or you have a chronic illness or you have something sort of not daily, not typical show up in your life, these kinds of skills aren't new to you. Listening to yourself, advocating for yourself, advocating for the people you care about, opening what feel like awkward conversations. I don't want those to be new for you in an emergency.
Yeah, I'm so thankful we're having this conversation so that no matter what, any day-to-day stuff, like your mental health is important. You're being like you who's listening to us right now. It is important. And the sooner you can realize that, and I love that you keep saying advocating for yourself. I think that's the hardest thing for so many people to do at times is to, you know, they might be worried about other people or trying to just, you know, get their job done and, you know, worry about the kids and other relationships. And you kind of put yourself in the back seat, but it's that saying, the common one you hear all the time about, you put the oxygen mask on yourself first before you can assist other people or show up as the best, most helpful version of yourself for other people. So I understand wanting to care for others, but yes, what I want people to walk away with is that permission that doing whatever you need to do to take care of you is okay and it's allowed.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Hey there, parents and teachers. Are you tired of feeling like every day is a battle of wills with your kids? Let me tell you about something that changed the game. Love and Logic. Love and Logic isn't just another parenting or teaching strategy. It's a mindset shift that empowers you to raise responsible, respectful kids while keeping your sanity intact. With Love and Logic, you'll learn practical techniques to set limits with empathy, give your kids the tools they need to make smart choices, and build relationships based on mutual respect and understanding. Love and Logic stands behind their methods with a one-year money-back guarantee. Try it out risk-free. If it doesn't change your life, we'll buy it back. Plus, you can get 10% off with code IHEART10. So if you're ready to say goodbye to power struggles and hello to peaceful, loving relationships with your kids, it's time to give Love and Logic a try. Visit their website or call today. Your sanity will thank you. Love and Logic, because parenting and teaching should be a joy, not a chore. Visit loveandlogic.com.
You know, we're sort of trained to be in a lose-win situation where to be a good person, you suppress your own needs in order to take care of others. This is certainly something that gets told to women and told to mothers, right? You know, just like we were talking about that cultural belief system around grief is a problem to be solved. Your job as a supporter is to take somebody's pain away from them. We have another cultural script that says it's not okay to advocate for yourself, that you need to make yourself uncomfortable before you make anyone else uncomfortable. And that is a lie. That's a lie, right? You use that analogy of, you know, when you're on an airplane, they say if you're traveling with young children or people who might need assistance, you put your own oxygen mask on first. When we're talking about this in terms of relationships and communication skills, what I often tell people is it should feel like you're doing something wrong when you advocate for yourself, right? Because we are so trained to suppress our own needs in order to meet the needs of others, even if we think the needs of others are not okay or not fair or they're being kind of a jerk. right? We have that so deeply embedded in ourselves that we need to put ourselves last in order to be good people. So that when you start advocating for yourself, when you start saying, no, no, thank you, I'm not going to go to that party for you, right? Or no, I can't pick up your kids from school after I've already done 19 other things today and I'm about to collapse and I haven't eaten since 4 o'clock this morning when I woke up because the kid was crying. It should feel like you're doing something wrong because it's a new skill and a new habit and a new practice. So in this situation, feeling uncomfortable is your sign that you're doing it right. I don't mean you should be a jerk, but it should feel like you are stepping outside of what being nice is.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. I was just thinking in my head, like, you can be unkind, but you can also be kind. Actually, sometimes it's more of a, it's not unkind or kind. It's just you.
That's right. It just is.
It just is.
Right. So let's use a really mundane example here. So let's say that you and I are friends and we happen to live in the same area. And that example that I just used, right? Like, you're like, I need you to pick up the kids after school, whatever. Like, I'm busy. I need you to go do this for me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I didn't sleep well last night. I've done 19 things today. I have a meeting right before I'm supposed to go pick up your kids from school. I can't do it. And I know you can, you just don't want to, right? So I can say, I can't do that for you today. Now I'm pausing. See, there's a really uncomfortable pause right there, because what we would normally do is give a lot of reasons, defend ourselves, say all of these things, right? Or like, make promises to quote unquote make it up to the person because we're doing them such a disservice, right? It's okay to say, I can't do that for you today. And you have the right to be upset about that, right? Like, maybe you expected me to do it. It doesn't mean that you assert a boundary and then suddenly like the bluebirds appear, right? Being human is hard and it's awkward, but it's okay to say those boundaries, to say no to something. Now that's being kind and direct. It's a kindness to me to advocate for myself. It's also, you know, if I just say, fine, I'll go pick up your kids, that's not really a kindness to you either, because you're relying on something that is not terribly stable. And that's not good for our relationship if I'm pretending that I'm fine with something that I'm not, because that sets up a really weird dynamic for us, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get in that. So that is a kind and clear way to say no to somebody. Now, let's use an example of me being a jerk would be like, I'm not picking up your stupid kids. You always tell me to do this at the last minute. It's basically an attack. So when I say it should feel weird and slightly uncomfortable when you voice your own needs in a clear and direct way, I'm not saying that that is license for you to be a jerk. This is not like you bring out the whole arsenal of like every wrong you've ever done me. Clear, direct, kind boundary is not the same as being a jerk. But you should, I think, if you have been well-trained and you've spent most of your life people-pleasing and saying yes to things when you really wanted to say no, you're going to feel a little bit like a jerk, right? But just don't, yeah. Just don't be a jerk. Don't yell at people.
I think for a lot of people, there might be a lot of boundary setting.
Yes.
Coming up with Christmas and family time too, regardless, of any grieving, all grieving aside, like sometimes boundaries just need.
Yeah. These are human skills. Boundaries are human skills.
And the more you practice them, the more they will become more natural to you. I'm new to some of these skills just this year. So I can speak from experience that yes, it does feel weird. And then also that if the other person is, their feelings are hurt by your boundaries, like, yes, their feelings are valid. Mm-hmm. But what I've had to learn to do is how they are feeling. It's not my responsibility to worry about that. My therapist has had me look at it as like, I'm in my hula hoop, they're in their hula
that's
hoop,
right.
And I don't need to hop into theirs. Or you can look at it as like a lane, like that's their side of the street. This is my side of the street. And I can tell sometimes in relationships where I go over and I'm just hanging out on that side of the street and I have to correct myself because this is stuff that would give me so much anxiety and I would overthink it and I would worry about so much. I mean, it would keep me up at night and it was adding to mm-hmm. all of the things going on in my life. It was like this ecosystem that was just feeding off of each other. And once I even learned how to set those mental boundaries inside my own head of like, I'm not going to go there today because that's actually is none of my business. Because of course I don't want to ever hurt anybody's feelings at all. But if I know that I responded in a kind or even just a neutral, mm-hmm. it is what it is way that was good for me and I wasn't being rude or trying to be hurtful, then you know how they process that is on them. And if they're going to be mad at me for it, then that has nothing to do with
me. Yeah, I think sometimes what we do is we conflate, I did the right thing with it had a great outcome. you can be clear and kind and direct, and the other person might have a really crappy reaction to that. That doesn't mean you did the wrong thing. So sometimes when we talk about, like, you know, sit down with your family members and have a discussion about what each person might want for the holidays, like all of these really beautiful descriptions of how to navigate conversations with various people during the holidays, I can hear people going like, not in my family, like not going home for Christmas is not an option in this family. So real world stuff here, families are challenging. This goes back to what I was saying in the beginning, is that even when life is hunky-dory, the holidays are a stressful time because family systems are challenging, right? Family systems are challenging. There's roles, there's habitual ways of relating to each other. There's this person's need versus this person's need. So when you hear us talking about go have these conversations with your family, stand up for yourself with your friends, advocate for yourself, I know that families are messy. So we're not talking about if you get your words right, if you use the right language, everything will work out okay. That's not the math we're doing here. That's not math, right? What we're talking about here is, just as you said, like inside your own hula hoop, I'm going to listen to myself and my own needs. I'm going to advocate for myself in clear, kind language. And I'm going to step out of the maelstrom if somebody comes at me in an unskilled way that doesn't feel good to me. I'm going to solve this argument by putting on my coat and walking out the door. Boundaries are not easy things. It's why we don't use them, right? Because people get mad and people get upset, and it's hard to hold your center when you've got a family member being like, but you need to do this and this is best for you and you're going to let down Aunt Mary. And a tirade, man. Like, it is hard to state a boundary within a system that is invested in you behaving the same way that you've always behaved.
I love it. I mean, yes, I wish that as much as I've learned this year, I wish that I'm like, oh man, this should be a class in school, like boundaries 101.
Boundaries 101. I'm working on it, babe. I'm working on it.
I just feel like, yes, it would help with relationships so much if we weren't constantly, it's a game.
Yeah.
It's like we're constantly living in this game.
And it's so much easier when you stop playing, right? It feels weird, but it is really stepping out of those habits, those relational habits. And, you know, again, like it's just like with grief, right? Like, it's not your fault if you think that it's your job to cheer up a sad person, because look at all of our movies and all of our books, all of that sort of transformation narrative, something bad happens to you, and if you do it right, you'll come back even stronger than before. All of that stuff, like, we absorb that. And the same thing with boundaries, don't have care of yourself. Like, everything we absorb says, don't have any needs. Don't ask for anything. Don't put anybody out. Don't be a troublemaker. All of these things. Like, so of course, even knowing that it's okay for you to have needs that might be in conflict with somebody else's needs, like, that is a revelation for a lot of people, because that is just not the cultural mirage we're used to living in. So again, I come back to, like, as you start playing with this stuff, it's going to feel uncomfortable. And that discomfort is a sign that you're on the right road.
Well, thank you so much, Megan, for your wisdom as always. And I'm so excited that people are going to have you as a tool and a resource. I know you've got the books and the journal and different tools that are helping people, but to now have another podcast form hereafter with Megan Devine on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts. And as you can hear now, she has one of the most soothing voices that you've ever heard. So she'll be awesome to listen to every week.
I hope so.
Well, thank you, Megan, so much. And I know that you'll be back on. You always have an open invitation to come on here if there's ever anything we need to go on. And again, we're excited to have you a part of the team, and everything that you're putting out there, keep doing it. There's so many people benefiting.
Thanks.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Hey there, parents and teachers. Are you tired of feeling like every day is a battle of wills with your kids? Let me tell you about something that changed the game. Love and Logic. Love and Logic isn't just another parenting or teaching strategy. It's a mindset shift that empowers you to raise responsible, respectful kids while keeping your sanity intact. With Love and Logic, you'll learn practical techniques to set limits with empathy, give your kids the tools they need to make smart choices, and build relationships based on mutual respect and understanding. Love and Logic stands behind their methods with a 1-year money-back guarantee. Try it out risk-free. If it doesn't change your life, we'll buy it back. Plus, you can get 10% off with code IHEART10. So if you're ready to say goodbye to power struggles and hello to peaceful, loving relationships with your kids, it's time to give Love and Logic a try. Visit their website or call today. Your sanity will thank you. Love and Logic, because parenting and teaching should be a joy, not a chore. Visit loveandlogic.com.